The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance, and we have four twos. What are we talking about? February, we got February, which is month two. Today's the second day, and then it's the year 22. So it's 2-2-2-2. You won't have that too many often. Well, let me see. What is the title of the message? The title of the message was What the Truly Elect Can Never Accept. What the Truly Elect Can Never Accept. And we're going to get into some of those things that the truly elect can never accept. And tonight it's just, well, at the controls, on the board, always defending, standing for freedom, protecting me, willing to throw his body right in front of a truck if he had to protect me, none other than Mighty Andrew.
I think you're exaggerating a little, but good evening, Pastor.
All right. And here, well, you know, you can fantasize maybe. All right, here you go. And just me tonight. But we have a lot to cover, and we're going to get right into that. And so we're going to start tonight in Romans chapter 12 with a very familiar verse to most of you, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, tonight we're going to dedicate this radio program to some heroes of the faith, some real heroes of the faith, and we're going to talk about that a little later on. But these are the people that have spent much of their life fighting for the unborn, the precious unborn, or the elderly, and so that have gone home to be with the Lord recently, and I mean very recently, they've gone home to be with the Lord, and we're going to read that at the bottom of the hour, Lord's willing. But here, when we talk about this, that present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, folks, again, America's national sin is abortion. It's a hideous sin, and so real Christians could never, ever accept such a hideous, hideous sin. Well, you know, the Bible tells us here that Christians are called to not be conformed to this world with its behavior and customs that are, well, they're always usually selfish and often very corrupting. Many Christians wisely decide that that much worldly behavior is off limits for them. Those are the true Christians. Our refusal to conform to this world's values, or lack of values, if you will, however, must go much, much deeper than the level of behavior and customs. It must be firmly, and I mean firmly, founded in our minds. We when it says, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is possible to avoid most worldly customs and still, you know, be thankful. Here today, covetous, selfish, stubborn, and arrogant. Those are the covetous, those are the customs that some of them that we must avoid. Because only when the Holy Spirit renews and reeducates and reflects in our minds are we truly transformed. And so here we say again, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, we were mentioning the sin of abortion. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible sin. And some of the excuses that are given by professing Christians, you've got a lot of professing Christians out there, folks, that have a profession. In fact, as we just read what the Lord Jesus had said previously, that many are called, but few are chosen. Many will come, but few will enter. The vast majority of those that have a profession of faith do not have a possession of salvation. They're deceived. And this is why it's very, very important that you continuously, that you make sure, you make your salvation sure. You make your salvation sure. I know there's a lot of people, especially in the prosperity. I almost hate to call it a prosperity church, but the prosperity movement out there, which really, they're really social clubs or entertainment centers. You go and you've got these so-called name it, claim it, grab it, stab it prosperity preachers jumping and a hooting and a hollering and making all kinds of strange claims out there, folks, that are just totally not biblically, but people are attracted in large numbers to that because they're promising, they're tickling the ears of people and telling them, God wants to give you this, God wants to give you that, God wants to give you all these material things, and they're not going to the Word of God and an actual Bible. Many of them go in there with those perversions of the Scripture, and they're hearing, these preachers know what they want to hear, and they'll deliver that, and as long as you keep putting money in that plate, and they'll convince you that the more you give to their cause, then the greater you're going to, God's going to reward you. And it's not about that. It's just the opposite. The Bible says, place up your crowns in heaven. Place up your crowns in heaven. And yet, today you have people like T.D. Jakes saying, well, I want my stuff now. You got Joel Osteen saying, live the good life now. Everything is about materialist things now. And that's exactly in opposition to what the Bible teaches. So, and when it comes to that horrible, horrible sin of abortion, that you'll never hear these prosperity preachers preaching on that. In fact, Joel Osteen brags how he never preaches against sin. And here, and the Bible refers to those as dumb dogs too afraid to bark. That those that will not preach against sin and warn the people are dumb dogs too afraid to bark. And so here, some of the excuses that you'll hear that I've heard over the years from some of those, well, my pastor said it's not a sin, that abortion is not a sin. Well, I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't want to be in that apostate's shoes. I really would not want to be in his shoes. Because, you know, he's supposed to be held to a higher standard. And when he's said such a thing as that, which gives these women the ability to justify their sin, oh boy, it's woe unto him. Some of them say, well, my pastor said, God will forgive me. Yeah, if you repent of that horrible sin, but there's always consequences. There's always consequences to sin. Well, let me give you an example of the consequences to sin. Women that have killed their babies by abortion, that have killed their babies, their suicide rate is 7 times as high as those that have kept their babies. So what does that tell you? The wages of sin is what? Death. Well, it's my body. Well, no, you see, you hear that. I've got the right. It's my body. No, you don't. First of all, it's not your body. It's not your body. Unless your body's got four arms and four legs and four eyes and four ears. No, it's not your body, folks. God has, first of all, the child belongs to God. Scripture says it belongs to him. He's placed it in your care. God has placed a child in your care. And woe unto you when you transgress the dominion of God. And that's what he tells you. When you transgress God's dominion, when you destroy his image, well, that is a horrible, horrible sin. And let me tell you, you can... You need to repent of that and repent of that right away. I have a constitutional right. No, you don't. That's another big lie. That's a lie told by liars. Anytime you hear someone say, that's a constitutional right, you tell that person that I, Pastor Ernie Sanders, said that's a lie told by a liar, and then tell them how they can contact me. Because I've run into a few of those before. And they will never say that to me again, I can tell you that, because you come right at them with the sword of the Lord, God's word, and God's word cuts both ways, and that is a lie told by liars. There is no such thing in the Constitution that gives you a right to kill your child. And then here, I want to go over, because one of the things that's really been, is growing in our country today, is the sin of infidelity. You have fewer and fewer people getting married, but even those that are getting married today are having what they call open marriages. They're called open marriages today. And I have been watching, I guess I'm a latecomer, because I've been told that there's been, this program has been on for years called The Cheaters. And what they do is they catch people being cheating and infidelity, and they go after them and they expose those people, and the idea is to get them to repent of that and quit doing it. And so here I noticed one of those, and I thought, well, I'd like to find out more about this here, because we know of infidelity, but what their stats are. And so what I was learning is that here, the majority of those presented that were cheaters, the majority in this, on those programs, were women that were cheating on their husbands. The ones that I, and then there's another group. It is called, let me see. I did that study, and I was reading, and I'm trying to remember what they were called. But they showed the same thing. That was the majority. Now, today, they don't call it cheating if it's an open marriage. And amongst many of your young people, and I mean people that are getting married in their 20s, they have what they call an open marriage. They're not even trying to have children. And some of these young girls, because they're whoring. They go whoring, and they get pregnant, and they kill their babies. And so here, but amongst those older, the group of, the largest group were women between the ages of 30 and 50 who were cheating on their husbands. And then you had, and of course here, most of the men in that case were either single men or divorced men, but there were some of them a number of them that were married too. A good percentage of those people were married. In other words, you had married men and married women who were married to somebody else, committing adultery, and you know, God has ruled on that. You see, it doesn't matter, because NBC, ABC, CBS will say, well, that's acceptable. Well, God doesn't say that. You see, and so God's ruled on that. And you say, well, you know, I disagree with God. Well, you know, you can do that, but I can tell you this, God's going to get his way. You're going to lose in the end. Now, if you go over to Jeremiah, it deals with both the sin of abortion and it deals with infidelity or whorish women. And if we go to Jeremiah chapter 2, we read verse 23. Now he compares them to animals. He compares them, and when I think about these, listening to these women from this what they call the squat, and these women on that PU, the View, filthy mouths. I mean, nasty, nasty mouth women, very, very whorish type women, but especially listening to how they just spew out the F word and spew out obscenities right in front of children with absolutely no respect to anybody, just absolute filthy language. Let me tell you something, folks. That filthy language doesn't come from clean women. No, that filthy what comes out of that mouth, okay, does not come from the mouths of clean women. And Scripture tells you that they're unclean. In fact, let's look at this. How canst thou say, I am not polluted, I have not gone after Balaam? See the way in the valley? Know what thou hast done? Thou art a swift dromedary, traversing her ways, as a wild ass used to the wilderness, that snuffeth up the wind and at her pleasure and her occasion. Who can turn her away? All that they seek her will not weary themselves. In their month they shall find her. In other words, it's like a wild jackass in heat. A wild jackass in heat. Those men out there who aren't real smart will find her. Now, here, it's just something that happens to be the symbol of the Democratic Party. And those women who have... with the very, very loose women within that Democratic Party who have their symbol of their party as a jackass, huh? Now, the Lord gives you he tells you, he asks a question in verse 29, wherefore will you plead with me? You all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. And so then I want to go down to when it comes to the horrible, horrible national sin of America, and that's the sin of baby killing. In verse 34 we read, also in thy skirts is found the blood of the innocent souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all of these. In other words, he's telling them there, he didn't have to look upon their hearts to find their sin, to find them guilty of that terrible sin. Out of their own mouths and by their own actions, they condemned themselves. And then here, some of the excuses you get from these people who are out there with this, what they call, well, they call the open marriage, but committing adultery. The ones that have what they call the open marriage, they're saying, well, we're not being unfaithful because we've got permission, therefore we're not doing anything, we're not being unfaithful. That's the way they feel. I think God will disagree with that. Now, here's the other thing. If you remember, you took some marriage vows, right? And in those marriage vows, did you say, well, we're going to have an open marriage and sleep with whoever we want? I don't think so. No. But here's some of the excuses you get. I'm not happy with my husband or my wife. I'm just not happy with them. Therefore, that justifies me going out and going a whoring. It's just a physical need. I still love my spouse. This is just a physical need that I need. Okay. Or my sex life should be open and it should be honest. There you go. So those are some of the excuses you get. I want to go over to Proverbs chapter 7. And in Proverbs chapter 7, I'm going in the wrong direction. Okay, I'll get there. Proverbs In Proverbs chapter 7, starting with verse 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. That's very, very good advice. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding my kinsman. Now, we want to go back on this again and talk about, because here, what wisdom is. We talked about this yesterday. There's some very, very, very false teachings out there that the Holy Spirit is a female, that you have God the Father, the Holy Spirit as the Mother, and the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son. Folks, that is a false teaching, but it's another one of those false teachings that seems to be gaining some more popularity amongst the biblically illiterate. And so here, and the reason for that is because it refers to wisdom as a woman, as her. That wisdom is the mind of God that it's referring to, the mind of God, but it doesn't make God a female by any. Now, there's a lot of things you refer to as her. Battleships are often referred to with a woman's name. Airplanes are often given a woman's name. A lot of storms are given, hurricanes have a woman's name. Racehorses are often given a woman's name. But that doesn't make them a woman. And so this is just a very strange, and invalid teaching. So do not believe it, please. Okay, now, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. If they keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement. Now that's an interesting thing, because who is it that would tell their sons to stay away from these strange women, stay away from loose women? And you'll find that it's the mothers that are much more likely, the mothers much more likely to advise their sons to stay away from loose women than even their fathers. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and I beheld among the simple ones, and I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. Boy, and if that's not a common thing today, I remember when I was a young man and just went into the military, boy, was there a lot of young men void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud, she is stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait on every corner. So she causeth him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I prayed and paid my vows. Therefore come I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face. I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. For the good man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and he will come home at the day appointed. With her, a much fair speech, she caused him to yield with the flattering of her lips, and she forced him. Today, they call these women often cougars. that are very wily, large, old cats. They're calling them cougars that go after younger men. She goeth after her, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike to the liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me, therefore, O you children, and attend to the words of thy mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, and go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yes, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is in the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And here, how many times have I remember all of the death row inmates that over the years I ministered to. For 45 years, I was going up, we went to the prisons on a regular basis and ministering. And all of those men, when they committed their crimes, all of them were either on alcohol or drugs or both. Except for one fella, and it's been such a long time, he was neither. He was a young man who got a promotion at work, and the boss told him to take the rest of the day off. He got a big promotion, so he decided to go home early and surprise his wife and tell her. Well, when he got home, he was surprised because he caught his wife in bed with another guy, and he shot him and killed him. And that's what he's talking about here. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O you children, attend to the words of thy mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yes, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. All right, we're going to Andrew.
Yes, Pastor.
Do I have a caller yet here tonight?
Yes, you do.
And who is that?
This is Allie Frazier.
Okay. Allie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Allie, tonight I want to dedicate this radio program to some heroes of the faith, some folks that have dedicated much of their life to helping the unborn and the elderly. And I want to start out tonight. You're going to talk about Judy Adamek and give us a little bit of a testimony. I remember years they were with us way back in the beginning with Dr. Wilkie, myself, and when we started Ohio Right to Life back in the early 70s. But tonight I want to dedicate this radio program to Judy, to Joe Clark, who recently died, who was an avid pro-lifer, to Bruce Pfeiffer, who Bruce, at the age of 78 years old, was up until just a couple of weeks ago, was out in the streets in his cold weather. He would be out there saving babies. Dan Schaefer, who was an avid pro-lifer. Denver Sally, who was a long, long-time friend, president of Lake County Right to Life, and I worked with him for so long. And Edward Corsi, who used to go with me many, many times. We would go out to the abortion mills out there and preach the gospel and rescue those being led to slaughter and drawn to death. But go ahead and would you give a little eulogy for Judy?
Yeah, absolutely. It would be my honor for sure. So Judy was an incredible, incredible pro-life advocate, and she actually passed away last week, but she was surrounded by her family, and even her calling hours in service, which I had the honor of being able to attend both, were just so completely, they were just completely full of Judy's legacy. And that was truly a legacy of love and of life. And as you've mentioned, Judy and her husband Ray were founding members of the Right to Life movement in Ohio. They actually helped found our local chapter here in Northeast Ohio, Right to Life of Northeast Ohio. And they actually did that in 1971, which is actually before Roe versus Wade had even legalized abortion in all 50 states. So they were fighting for life even before the Roe versus Wade decision, which I just find so incredibly encouraging. But Judy's legacy also extended into the pregnancy help movement as well. She actually founded the Birthright Pregnancy Center, which serves moms and babies in crisis. So she was not just active in trying to stop abortion. She was also active in helping moms and babies when women did find themselves in unplanned pregnancies. So she is survived by lots and lots of children and grandchildren and her wonderful husband, Ray. And it was an absolute pleasure to be able to meet all 11 of Judy's children. I had the honor of being able to do that this week. And I couldn't help but think about the scripture in Proverbs that is referring to, you know, the woman of great repute. And they say her children rise up and call her blessed. And surely Judy's children do rise up and call her blessed. And I know she is in a better place now, and that her incredible love for life and for others is a testament truly to God's faithfulness.
So you're pretty sure she's heard those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," huh?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I don't know how, I guess it would, you know, now that she's going home to be with the Lord, to be all right to tell us her age, because I like I said, well, it's had to be 50 years now that we've been active in the pro-life movement. And so how old was she when she passed?
I believe that Judy was in her mid-80s, I think 85. I know that she and Ray got married in 1957, so they had been together, and they had been building a legacy even that far back. But, yeah, I believe that Judy was 85.
You know, it's got to be very, very hard for them to be married for about 63 years. You know, when you lose a spouse, when you've been... I've been married, my wife and I, we're going on our 54th year of marriage.
Wow, but, congratulations.
Well, you're... Well, thank you. And I know it's so many of my friends that when their spouses have passed away, usually the women outlive the men, usually. Not all the time, but usually. And I noticed one thing that the spouse doesn't seem to stay around too many years later. You know, it's that's like losing, you know, part of yourself when you've been together for so long. And so, anyhow, again, I want to thank you for calling in here. And I know that it's late, and you're probably normally asleep by now. Am I right?
Oh goodness, I'm actually a bit of a night owl, so this isn't too bad for me. And honestly, for Judy, it's worth it. I feel so incredibly blessed to be able to be a part of Right to Life of Northeast Ohio and this organization that Judy helped build. And honestly, I would be up at midnight if it meant telling people about the incredible things that Judy had done for life. So it's an honor.
Well, I will be up at midnight telling people about the incredible thing that these people, because, again, I want to dedicate this radio program. And once again, remember who those people are, starting with Judy and Joe Clark and Pastor Bruce Pfeiffer and Dan Schaefer, Denver Sally. And of course, you probably knew Denver Sally. Denver was he's been active from the very start. He was the president of Lake County Right to Life for many years. And Ed Corsi. And these were real first responders. You know, we hear so much about first responders. And these people, they did it out there. They didn't get paid for doing this. They didn't get paid. In fact, it often cost them a lot of money just to go out. And often because of the wickedness and the evil out there of the death culture. I remember in my days, early days, it used to be when we first got active and going to the streets out there, there was a lot of violence. I was shot at several times. They tried to run me over. One guy tried to stab me in the eye. Another one had come up, put a gun in my back, and just by God's grace, the security guard that I had led to the Lord 2 weeks earlier saw that on a camera and snuck around and got a drop on the guy that had a gun in my back. And so in those days, it was... the early days, and that's when Judy and Ray were out there in the early days, you might say it was a lot of more excitement. But not only did we not get paid for doing, for going out there and saving babies, but often we were attacked. And by the fake, wicked, evil news media, we were often attacked out there. But you know what? The Bible says that we're going to obey God rather than man, huh?
100%, 100%. And with so many lives at stake, how can you not? I tell myself all the time, regardless of what kind of pushback you get from the other side, nothing is going to be as bad as what a baby has to experience in an abortion. And that's kind of, I think that is that same conviction that I think has really led these advocates to be so staunch for so long and fight for life for decades.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of times it's, you can become a little calloused out there when you're in that front lines fighting continuously with these people. And but to hold and always not get conformed to the ways of the world, never reduce ourselves to the same tactics and standards that these people have, you know, in the way and the things that they do and the way they attack you and things. But here, these are real heroes of the faith. They're going out and you know, our church, Doers of the Year, Doers of the Word, all these years, this coming Friday morning, they'll be back out again. Even in bad, bad weather, they'll be back out in front on the streets. And I know for 45 years, I was on those streets, you know, 52 weeks a year myself, leading Doers of the Word, leading the first responders out there. And so in that time too, I was at one point I was being sued more than anybody I knew, and by the bloody death culture. But in fact, they tried to RICO me three times. They tried to RICO laws, but God always intervened, and we beat them every time. So I want to thank you so much for staying up and coming on, and you're more than welcome to stay with me tonight if you wanted to, as a co-host. And we're going to be showing a clip at the top of the hour, playing a clip. And this is what we've been telling people from the very first. We were right out of the chute when this whole COVID thing started, this whole scamdemic. We told you right from the start what it was. And we warn people about the poisonous pokes, about these vaccines. We tell you, right from the beginning, we were telling people this is all a part of the global depopulation program. And here, little by little, it's coming out. And we're going to be exposing a lot of that at the top of the hour. But between then, if you want to stay and be my co-host, you're welcome. And or if you want to get your beauty sleep, I won't make you stay with me. So,
hey, it's all good. I think we're going to get snowed in tomorrow, so I think that we have plenty of time to cover what else you might want to.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you just said that, because I've got to announce we're in the midst of an ice storm right now. It's freezing ice there, so we're calling off the prayer breakfast tomorrow morning. Our Thursday morning prayer breakfast has been called due to an ice storm that's taking place now. But I'm glad you reminded me of that. And one other, too. I want to make an announcement that Joe Clark's funeral is this Monday at 7, February 7th, this Monday, February 7th, at the Eckhart Baldwin Funeral Home at 760 East Market Street there in Akron. And the viewing will be from 4 to 5:30. The viewing will be from 4 to 5:30, and the burial is going to be on Thursday. The burial is going to be on Thursday at the Holy Cross Cemetery, and it'll be a military burial. And so, with that, okay, here we go. You're my co-host, so I'm going to hit some fast articles and let you comment. You ready? Okay,
I'm ready. Go for it.
German school tells Christian girls to dress in Muslim clothes to avoid bullying. A German school headmaster in Frankfurt and Maine told the mother of students she should dress her daughter with one of those head bags or Muslim head covering so that the Muslim students would stop bullying the girl. And it goes on to say that the Muslim girls, the German authorities give in. They caved in to the Muslims, and they're telling the Christians, you know, we can't help you. If you're a Christian, you dress like a Muslim so they won't know that you're a Christian. It's open, it's open season on Christians there. Thank you, Ms. Merkel. Gee, that's a part of the globalist elite. What do you think about that?
Sounds like victim blaming to me. Sounds like they should stick up for people who are getting bullied, no matter who they are. Seems pretty unfair to me.
Yeah, well, it is. And you know what else is unfair? In Quebec, to heavily tax the unvaxxed. That's right. The Canadian province of Quebec will heavily tax the unvaccinated people, according to Premier Francois Legault. On Tuesday, said the unvaccinated will be taxed. However, the fee has not been decided. Well, guess what's happening there in Canada? People are saying, enough is enough. We're not going to take it anymore. And in fact, here, message to the ruling elites. Your time is up. Message to the ruling elites. Your time is up. You no longer have the consent of the governed. You must resign from all your positions and authority now. Do you know where Mr. Trudeau is at? He's hiding. This guy is a tyrant. He's a dictator. And let me just go on. Canadian tyrant Justice Trudeau is getting an up-close and personal view of the fringe minority, as he called them. But will he stop hiding under his bed and take a look at it? Do you know why? What we're talking about? You had 50,000, and from what I heard, it ended at, it's up to 70,000 now, 70,000 trucks. 70,000 trucks. In Canada, the truckers are leading the convoy. And here it says on the lead, one of the trucks, a big poster on the front, freedom over fear, no mandates. And so they're telling, we've had enough, Mr. Trudeau. No more of your mandates. Do you know that Trudeau is trying to outlaw Christianity in Canada? Did you know that?
I did know there was a lot of stuff going over there, and I think part of it, and I'm not a policy expert, but from what I've heard is Canada doesn't have in place the same constitutional protections that the U.S. has to the same degree. And so you'll see a lot of times stuff happening in Canada that seems pretty radical, in terms of just really clamping down on religious liberty and stuff. And part of that, I think, is due to the lack of as robust protections for free speech and freedom of religion and stuff like that in Canada.
If I were in Canada, they would arrest me for this radio program that I have and for what I preach at our church. They would what I preach, when you preach against the sin of sodomy and the sin of abortion in Canada, that's illegal. And enough of the, from what I've been seeing, a number of pastors have had it. They've had it, and they've finally found the courage to stand up and said, no, we're going to push back. And here, here in this article here, and this is from the State of the Nation, the alternative news magazine, what has transpired over the weekend in Canada in a unique history, I can't think of anything this potentially transformational, not even the Polish uprising that kicked off the shackles of Soviet communism and touched off the beginning of the collapse of that system, hold over the whole Eastern Europe. So we're seeing history being made right now. You're seeing a rebellion. People are saying, we want our freedom back. And people like Mr. Trudeau and these dictators, they better get the message. People have had enough. And they're going to go back, and I would not be surprised to see not just these convoys, but I wouldn't, you know, in fact, you know what they want to do? They're looking to have the very same thing this summer, to have thousands and thousands and thousands of truckers go to Washington, D.C. And shut them down, which they should do. You know, that D.C. stands for District of Crime. District of Crime. Alrighty. There you go. Moving on. School children may receive 240,000 applications of experimental hydrogel per year. The Illuminati formula to create a fully readable, controllable, and customizable human android that is now being done. Of course, you know, it's talking about what is in these vaxes, and also things like these so-called hand sanitizers. They're putting chemicals in this. There's a war on the children. I mean, it's all-out war now between the culture of death, the depopulation movement. Here, school children may receive 240,000 applications of experimental hydrogel per year. The Illuminati formula to create a fully readable, controllable, and customizable human android. That's how it's done. And this is from Before It's News. If you think the vaccines are all about making money, you are extremely incorrect. If you think that the free hand sanitizers that are all about safety, you are very mistaken. If you think that the nose swabs that are about testing, you are in the twilight zone. Yeah, there's things in those nose swabs, too. It's an amazing thing. Right now, again, like I said, we are in a full, all-out war with the deep state, with the Antichrist world system. If you think 5G is coming to give you faster download speeds, you believe in fairy tales. Well, a lot of the pilots, no, they are very, very concerned about the 5G's taking airplanes down. There's a lot of other things that these vaccines that people, that aren't vaccines, they're really not vaccines at all. In fact, I've had probably the top five virologists in the world. We've played them here on this radio program, and they've come out. In fact, Robert Malone, who was here, made it very clear. He was the one that invented that. He said it is not a vaccine. He said it's a bioweapon. It's a bioweapon. It was invented for the military. And we're going to listen to, I'm going to have a very long clip on the second part of the at the top of the hour. And you really want to listen to this because it's going to tell you everything that we've been telling you, everything for the last couple of years, they're going to be verifying in here. It goes on to say, if you think that conspiracies are always theories, you're not paying attention to the world around you, and probably seek comfort in a bubble of illusion. Remember, if something is free given to you by diabolical conspiring sources, you are the product. And so he goes on to say this, that it's a normal occurrence for many school children to wear masks every day, to use their hand sanitizers, sometimes in excess of a dozen times a day. It seems so normal because everyone is doing it. The hand sanitizer seems so healthy. Somehow, a clear gel supposedly containing alcohol and not much else. One must even question how much alcohol should any child be given. Well, even in hand sanitizers. But that's not the main focus here. Now, let's do some simple math. You say let a child apply hydrogel containing hand sanitizers 12 times a day, assuming that they use it at the school, 12 times 20 days and 10 months, that's 2,400 possible applications of hydrogel. It's absolutely shocked that this could be happening, and the numbers could be even lowballing. So, folks, let's get real. It goes on, and he talks about the masks, the hydrogel. It's a kind of a long article. And none of this is about what it appears to be. You know what it's all about? Control. It's all about control. Okay, here's another one. You ready for this one?
I'm ready.
Here you go. Whistleblowers reveal DOD, that's Department of Defense, medical date showing military cancer. Listen, in the military, with our soldiers, cancer diagnoses have tripled. The amount of military personnel that are coming down with cancer has tripled since the rollout of the bioweapon vaccines, along with a 10-fold increase in neurological disorders and a near 5-time increase in female infertility. On Monday, several world-renowned doctors and medical experts spoke. Well, we've got this. We're going to play, probably not tonight, this clip of this hearing that was given by Senator Ron Johnson. We had some of the top, best-known medical doctors in the country in this panel. And here, you didn't get a peep. This was a five-hour hearing, and you didn't see one peep of it on any of the fake news media. Not on NBC, ABC, CBS. You didn't see any of that. Okay. The nearly five-hour-long event, which was titled COVID-19 Second Opinion, saw a wide range of issues discussed, including the global pandemic response, the current states of knowledge of early and hospital treatment, vaccine efficacy and safety, what went right, what went wrong, what should be done now, and what needs to be addressed long-term, according to the description to Senator Johnson's website. The esteemed medical experts sounded the alarm over several issues that they have come across over the past year, exposing even more damning information that illustrates the horrific effects of the experimental vaccines and how the very, very, very corrupt U.S. health regime has nefariously attempted to cover its tracks since the beginning. Unfortunately, the catastrophic effects of the vaccines may be worse than ever thought, possibly, especially for young people. We warn people about this, and a lot of the people that we warned, they went and they took the vax anyhow, and recently a very dear friend of mine took the vax, ended up in the hospital, and they gave him remdesivir, and his lungs filled up, and he died. That's the second one that's happened to in the last 3 weeks, the second good friend who has died from that. And why? Well, actually, one took the vax, the other didn't take the vax. But here, during the event, Ohio Attorney Thomas Renz presented Department of Defense medical billing data from the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database that exposes the disturbing truth about what is happening to the health of our service members since the rollout of the jab a year ago. According to Rents, there has been an astronomical increase in several serious illnesses and disorders, diagnoses, and the military since the rushed rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine, most concerning of which is cancer, and cancer has a 300% increase. 300%. I'm just going to stop right there. I mean, this goes on and talks about all of these. We're coming up to a break. You want to hear, when we come back from the break, you'll want to hear the next half hour of what we're talking about. Listen carefully, because folks, and I know that, and you say, well, boy, you're really hitting hard on that. Well, you need to know. People are dying. This is why we're spending so much time on this. It's killing a lot of people. So we'll be back right after this. You'll want to hear what's going on. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.